Good evening, everyone. We welcome you to the Lord's house this evening and ask you now to take your hymn book or look on the screen behind me for our opening hymn, hymn number 469, Take Time to Be Holy. Let us stand, please, as we praise the Lord this evening. Tonight we're down on the floor, a little cozier, not get so lightheaded up there, so we'll be here tonight, and we look forward to a good time in the Lord's house. We look forward to those who will be singing, those who will play some instruments, those who will testify, and then we will take a time to look into God's Word as well, and then of course at the end, tonight we'll have our hymn sing at the end. But first let's pray and ask the Lord to come and be with us this evening. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this thy day, the one in seven where we can set apart all the cares and concerns of the world and to come and to worship thy name, to worship thy great and holy name, to come together corporately into thy house. Lord, we realize this place is just but brick and mortar unless your presence is here among us. And Lord, tonight we come and we pray that our praise and our worship would be acceptable in your sight. We pray for every family that is gathered in. We pray, Father, you would visit our families, that, Lord, they would know your help and guidance each and every day. Lord, there's ones going through great trials, ones that we know of and ones perhaps we don't. Lord, there's ones going through great sickness. Lord, ones going through perhaps financial struggle, spiritual struggles. Oh, God, you know all the details of every home gathered here this evening. Lord, we pray that you would come and bless our marriages, bless our relationships between our parents and the children, whether they're young children or even adult children. And Lord, we pray that you be pleased to come and be in our homes. May our homes be places where you are worshipped and exalted and lifted on high. And Father, tonight we would pray that those who are in beds of sickness, those who cannot be here tonight, for reasons of illness, Lord, we pray that you would draw near to them. May they know your loving arms round about them and encourage them, we pray. We pray for healing, Father. It is our human nature to pray for healing. But Lord, we know sometimes the healing that you bring is in a form of being taken to glory. And so, Father, as you have so ordained everything. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with illness, that, Lord, you would give them a peace in their heart, that they would know the great comforter, the great physician, and, Lord, that they would be able to speak well of their Lord, their God, in their illness. We think, too, tonight of our pastor, as he is away in Mexico at this time, even tonight. Lord, we thank you for traveling mercies and pray you continue to watch over him. Bless the work in Mexico. We thank you, Father, for the good report of the elders being elected there. Three men, Lord, set apart for this office. Lord, we pray as they have been installed and ordained today, Lord, we pray that you would be with them, be with their families. Lord, as they become pillars in the church, Lord, pray that you'd be their portion. Be with our brother Jason Boyle as well, the minister there. May he know your help day by day, not only as he looks over the cares and concerns of the flock that he is concerned with, but Lord, as he travels around to other churches in Latin America who are interested in our denomination, Lord, we pray that you would use our brother for your honor and glory, that a great work would be done in Latin America. So again, Father, we would ask for your help tonight in our midst. We pray, Father, that you would bless our tongues as we worship your name. Bless the ones that would testify. And as we read your word, Lord, even just the reading of your word, may it be a blessing to our hearts. We leave all these things in thy care and keeping, giving you all the honor and the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, hymn number 517. 517, and please let us stand again as we worship. You to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Psalm, book of Psalms, and Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, and we will read the chapter together. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to each heart tonight. Well, I would just like to welcome everyone to the Lord's house tonight. It's good to see you here, each and every one. We're glad to see Mr. McKercher here out with us this evening. We know our brother has not been keeping well of late. We're glad that he's here. Of course, Joan and Heather tonight as well. We welcome you in the Lord's name, and others, our regulars, our faithful ones. Good to see you all here tonight in the Lord's house. As far as our announcements goes, we know, as we've heard this morning, Pastor Saunders is away visiting Mexico. He arrived there last week, last Wednesday, I believe, and went down to Cordoba to see our brother Lalo Peña. I think it's about 5 hours south of Mexico City. So they were there until Friday, and then they returned back to Mexico City. And they're there today for the installation and the ordination of the 3 elders in the Mexico church. And so that is a time for rejoicing, a time of great blessing. And so let us pray for these men and for our brother Jason Boyle as they oversee the work there in Mexico. And of course, tomorrow starts the week of prayer in Greenville. So let us be in prayer for the men that go, the elders and the deacons, and even some of the student ministers can attend some of the meetings. I know Daniel and Rebecca left this afternoon to head down, taking the 2 days to get down there, but they will be part of the meetings there as well. And others, the student ministers will be there this week as well. So let's pray for them as they have their times of prayer, their times of Bible study, the times of presbytery meetings, that the Lord will give them wisdom in every decision. As I said already, we'll have our hymn sing following the evening meeting tonight. And if you're not able to stay, we'll give you opportunity to leave at the closing hymn. But if you're able to, we encourage you as we take a time of singing tonight. Wednesday at 7:30, we continue our Bible study and prayer meeting. And we look forward to Pastor Kim this week. I don't know if he's looking forward to it, but I know we are. And we pray for you, brother, as you bring the Lord's word on Wednesday evening. You know, we got a bit of a shock last week when Pastor announced that he was going to do it last Wednesday. And so he was relieved that there was a mistake and our brother Saman was there instead. But we're thankful that our brother will be there this Wednesday to bring the word. Next Lord's Day, Daniel Saman will be back Pastor Saunders will still be away, and so Daniel will be taking both services next Lord's Day. Because of the week of prayer, we've had to reschedule our session and board meeting, and so men be reminded that May the 23rd will be our session and board meeting. Pastor has announced the baptismal service we look forward to in June. We've already had two people come forward asking for baptism, and so if the Lord has been speaking to you, if you've not yet gone through the waters of baptism, perhaps you would consider. It's not just for the young, it's for anyone who professes Christ. And so perhaps you've are a little bit on in years, that's okay. I remember when I was baptized, I was one of the younger ones in the group, and there's quite a few older ones. So regardless of age, doesn't matter. If you feel the Lord has speaking to your heart to go through the waters of baptism, please speak to Pastor Saunders or one of the elders at your leisure. I believe that's all of the announcements at the minute. We're going to sing another hymn, hymn number 288. First items of music this evening is a quartet, a musical quartet, instrumentalist quartet, and they're going to be playing Not What My Hands Have Done. They will play through the hymn twice, and then we will sing this hymn together, and the words will be on the screen, but let them play it through twice, and then we'll just remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
this time we're going to ask the choir, youth choir, to come now, and they're going to sing two pieces, Lily of the Valley and Be Thou My Vision. Thank you, young people, for singing for us tonight. It's a blessing to hear you. I've asked two people to come tonight to give a word of testimony. I've asked Betty Wimalachandran and Dorothy Delina. And after the prayer meeting last Wednesday, both of them came together to see me, and I thought they had come to some concerns. Maybe they were backing out, but quite the opposite. They asked if they could sing a duet together as well. So I graciously said, of course, absolutely. So we're going to have them come to give their word of testimony. You can ask Betty to come first, and then Dorothy, and then they will sing for you as well.
Hello, everyone. My name's Betty, and I'm going to share my testimony tonight. So I was born in India to an Indian mother and a Sri Lankan father. My father grew up in the Catholic faith and became a Christian when he was a young man. And my mother came from a Protestant home. And by God's grace, both my parents came to know the Lord. So we moved to Canada from Maldives when I was 3 years old. So I was born into a Christian family, and I had been going to church for as long as I could remember. Many of you probably don't know this, but I've been at this church since I came to Canada, so since I was three, and it's wonderful for me to be able to see so many of my faithful Sunday school teachers here in the church still. My parents taught me of the faith, and in Sunday school, I learned of salvation. As a child, my favorite hymn was Onward Christian Soldiers, and I still love to sing that to this day. However, as a child, I did not fully understand what saving grace meant. What repentance was. I remember calling upon the Lord when I was a child, but it was not until my teen years that I fully understood what the teachings of the Bible was and the gospel. I understood that God created a good world, but humans desired to be separate from God and sinned against him, and that through grace, God sent Jesus to take the punishment for the sins of his people so that we may be reconciled to God. Even though I knew all of this as a child, I still tried hard in my own strength to live as a good daughter, a good sister, a good friend, and a good student. My greatest desire was to be a good person who my parents could be proud of, and I would put my identity in being a good child and getting good grades. And I felt guilt and shame every time I failed that standard, and I found myself spiraling into a lot of anger and hatred towards myself. However, as I learned more and more about the truths of the Bible, it became more apparent to me that I was dead in sin and that any good I tried to do was meaningless in the face of God's standards, and I realized that I needed God to save me. The Lord convicted me of my sins and opened my eyes to his saving grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and according to his promises, in his word, through grace, by faith, he saved me." Throughout the years since my salvation, the Lord has constantly been teaching me what it means to live as an active child of God. However, there have been many trials, struggles, and fights with sin since then. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." As a believer, the fight with sin is a difficult one, but I found comfort in the words of Psalm 84, verse 10, where it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, in wickedness." The Lord has been gracious and loving in answering the prayers of my heart. He has led me to a church that faithfully preaches the word. He has given me a family that points me to the word of God, given me a circle of Christian friends who consistently encourage me in Christ, pray for me, and keep me accountable. He has allowed me also to serve him in many ways within the church and outside the church in my schooling and in work. He has also led me in my schooling and career, and in that has taught me patience, humility, and to deny myself. I also want to share this passage that I shared when I was baptized. It really speaks to me and about how I desire to live my life as a child of Christ. Ephesians 5, verses 14 to 17 says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dorothy, and I will also be sharing my testimony. Like Betty, I was also born to Bible-believing parents and raised in a God-fearing household. I've been going to church for as long as I can remember. Although I was born in the Philippines, when I was 4 turning 5, my family moved to Singapore, where we started attending a Bible Presbyterian church. Some of my earliest memories in the church include having to sing at a Christmas musical when I was about 5 or 6, and feeling itchy and my angel get up with my little angel wings and my little angel halo, and feeling very tired because we had been made to practice for several hours before the actual presentation that night, half wishing I could have been one of the sheep instead, because at least I got to sit down most of the time. Many such fond memories filled my childhood. I loved being in the church. I loved singing hymns and hearing Bible lessons and having fellowship with other people in the church, often over very delicious food. It felt a little like a second home, even though the venue itself was often changing because my church at the time did not have the money to purchase an actual building, so we would be moving around in the general vicinity a little until, by God's grace, we finally settled in an auditorium. I was convicted of sin and hell and confessed of needing Christ for a Savior when I was around 8 or 9 years old. But I did not fully come to grasp the gravity of my salvation until I was about to transition to being a teenager, aging out of the children's ministry, and moving on to the Young People's Fellowship. So, having already been baptized, which was the case for a lot of the children who grew up in my church, we were baptized before we were really too young. We were too young to really understand what that meant. So once we reached an age of understanding, we would undergo catechism classes, teaching us matters of faith and practice, especially on the church's own cardinal stand on these doctrines. Then after the classes had been completed, we would be interviewed by the elders of the church. We would be asked to give our testimonies. And then after several months had passed, we would be asked to affirm our faith in front of the congregation. So it was impressed upon me at the time how joining the church was truly a serious commitment. It was not one to be undertaken lightly. It made me all the more eager to serve God in whatever small capacity I could serve Him in, and I really thank God for all the opportunities and open doors to serve Him in whatever way I could back then. I was active in the church and thriving. However, there were many times of testings during my teenage years. For me, having grown up in the public school system, I was bombarded on all sides by many temptations from my worldly friends, from my teachers, even just in the classroom itself. And I am ashamed to say that I would fail more often than not to lead my worldly friends to Christ like I should have. I loved God, yet I acted sometimes as though I was ashamed of Him. And while I would invite my friends to church, I cannot say that the Christ they would have found there was the same that was always reflected in me, whom they interacted with every day. At the same time, however, I had a lovely group of Christian friends around me who were also undergoing their own trials, but also victories of faith, and getting to hear their testimonies and getting to share in the fellowship of Christ with them, as well as having their prayers, knowing that they were at the same stage of life as me, was honestly really God's blessing for me, because beyond just my family, I had friends who would hold me accountable for all my shortcomings, but also with whom I could share my burdens without fear of judgment, and we could commit everything to Christ in prayer. My family's insistence on daily family devotion was also very much a safety net for me, because I knew that if I ever had any questions or doubts, it could be addressed during those devotions. I really thank God for my mother and father, who insisted on it at least once a day, usually at night. Sorry, I'm very nervous. But sometimes in the morning, too. There was a period of time when we had family devotion in the mornings. Just all of us would gather together for a short time of reading the scripture and a quick prayer, committing the whole day to the Lord. Beginning and ending the day in the Lord's presence, especially when so much else of it was spent in the world, really helped me to orient myself. So by God's grace, for most of my time as a young adult, even though there were lots of ups and downs, I was still very happy and assured in my salvation. But there came a time when my faith was very sorely tested. I think growing up, everyone comes to that point in life when they just wake up one day and realize that even the people that they had looked up to for so long are just really fallible and really human. For me, the realization came at a pretty hectic time because our family was moving or had just moved to Canada. I was having to adjust to a new culture, new customs, a new church family, while at the same time having to say goodbye to my first and at the time the only church family I'd ever known. So it really made me withdraw into myself, and it felt very overwhelming at the time. I was really fearful. I became fearful and reluctant of truly involving myself in the church. And I even asked myself, what is really the point of opening myself up to another church family, learning to love another church family again, if inevitably I would be one day disappointed or even doubt the goodness of God? It was truly myopic, selfish, and it was a very human notion, but I felt it very deeply. But I thank God that He has never left me to suffer alone, but that He has comforted me in His word. And in my personal devotions, one day I came to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 7, which reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." So over time I learned that people, Christians, they can be capable of doing such great things for Christ and His kingdom, but they also have that same capacity to induce great hurt, sometimes unknowingly. And that is something they will have to account for the day of reckoning when Christ finally calls us all to judgment. However, I also would be held accountable, doubly accountable, really, because I grew up in the church. I knew God's truth. I've tasted His goodness and would still want to turn away. I could not close myself off from the church, as that would not be God's will for me, and to disobey that would be the greater sin. So I really thank God for how He has worked in my life and continues to work in my life, and even has granted me so many sweet provisions in the form of a God-fearing family, godly friends, of course His own precious truth in His word that every day chastens and shapes me and refines me. I am far from perfect. I'm full of weaknesses and infirmities, but the God who is my strength has given grace that is sufficient for me. So I leave you with verses that a dear friend of mine shared with me just before I left Singapore, which also enclosed my own desire on how to live as a Christian. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. To God be the glory.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing your testimony with us tonight, your honest and open testimony of how the Lord has saved you and how he's keeping you. We ask you to pray for all of our youth, our young adults. The Lord will continue to watch over them and be their portion each and every day. Just for a few moments this evening, just wanted to bring you a short, brief devotional. Ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 21 verses. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto the Lord and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's bow our heads briefly for a moment. Father, we do thank you for this time already spent in your house and for the singing of your praises and for hearing of the testimonies and what you've done in lives. Lord, now as we come to your word, Lord, you have directed me to this portion. I do not know why, but Lord, perhaps it's a word in season for some soul here this evening. Father, we pray that you would take your word, the scripture, Lord, may it find root in the heart. Lord, pray you'd bless us as we consider and ponder these things tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time. I recently read a devotional on this verse, and as pastor had asked me to bring a devotional tonight, I was asking the Lord what I should bring, and this devotional that I read came back to my forefront of my mind, and so I felt the Lord would have us look at this for a few moments this evening. Verse 16, redeeming the time. I'd ask you to look over your life from the time that you became a child of God until now, the time that you started living for Christ. As you think of that time period, ask yourself this vital question. How have I used those years? How have I used the time that the Lord has given to me? Can you say tonight with peace in your heart that you're happy with the way that you have used your life, the time that the Lord has given you? I'm sure all of us can think of occasions when we wasted our time. We wasted that time that the Lord has given. Perhaps there have been times that you have allowed time just to slip by. You've spent periods of time in your life where in matters that, well, were really unimportant, to say the least. Maybe you have been sidetracked by the devil. You allowed the devil to distract you from the will of God for your life. Maybe at times you fell into sin that hindered your walk with the Lord and hindered your service for the Lord. And maybe that is still the case today, that you're in a backslidden state. For some of us here tonight, we can remember the hours or the days, maybe even weeks or months or years of our Christian life that have been wasted. We have spent time in a way that we have deeply and sorrowfully have regretted. Friends, that is a great reality of that time. It is lost. It is lost forever. That thought may be painful, but it is reality that we can never get that time back again. Upon reflection, we often think, well, if I could only live that day over, if I could only get those years back again. We think of the bitter consequences of a certain time, and if we could only live it again, if we could only go back and live that year once more, how different things might be. But friends, that is impossible. The time that we squandered, the time that we lost, the time that we let slip by, it's gone. It's gone for good. It's gone forever. But that time, it ought to speak to us, speak to our hearts tonight. That time, we must consider it. It ought to teach us a very important lesson. It ought to teach us that time is precious. The time that we have here on earth is precious. You see, friends, as believers, we must be very careful to value whatever time, whatever period of life the Lord has given to us. Can I say to you that there are very few things in this world that are more valuable than time? There are very few blessings that the Lord gives to us that are greater and more precious than time itself. An artist once painted a picture of an hourglass. And in the hourglass, the sand was depicted by a dollar sign. And the message that the artist wanted to get across was that time is very valuable. Friends, time is precious. Oh, that the Lord would burn that into our hearts, that time is precious. The time that God gives to us on this earth is priceless, really. No value can be put upon it. Can we underline that thought tonight? That few things in this world are more valuable than the time that the Lord gives to us. Paul, preaching on Mars Hill in Acts 17, said, God has given us life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. Freely to enjoy the time. It's a precious gift from God's hand. He is the one who gave us life. He is the one who gave us breath. At times we take it for granted. We breathe so many times during the day and we hardly ever stop to think of the blessing that God has given to us. He's given us life. He has given us time. And these two involve great responsibility because we are going to give an account one day for how we have used our time here on earth. One day we will stand before God, before the judgment seat of Christ, and one day we will give an account of our stewardship. And that will include what sort of stewards we have been with our time upon this earth. As many of you know, I work in the printing industry, and like many manufacturing companies, a quote is given to a customer for a project that they want produced. And the quote for the job can be very accurate. One way of that to make sure that accuracy is achieved is by noting on the job docket how much time was taken for each step of the process. So the employee has to keep their timesheet accurate as possible and to give an account at the end of their shift or at the end of the day. Well, we remember that God has a timesheet. One day you'll have to hand it in. One day you'll have to answer for the way you have used the time that the Lord has blessed you with. Job in chapter 14 says, God appointed our bounds and we cannot pass. God has appointed. We read in the book of John and in Ephesians and even in 1 Peter that God has determined all things before the foundation of the world. Foreordained by the Lord in his providence and in his sovereignty, he has determined just how long each one of us is actually going to be here on this earth. Some are given a long life. Some others are given a short life. Was this not emphasized to us recently in the death of Tabitha's mother and also Joan's nephew? The reality is that no one knows how much time has gone. No one knows how very little time remains. Some may have more time than others, but the reality is that time is quickly running out. We know the old saying, time and tide wait for no man. Time never waits. It doesn't matter what happens, what events we pass through. It doesn't matter how hard, how difficult the days, how great the pain or the heartache. Time never stops, but it just keeps marching on. It never waits. It makes steady, uninterrupted progress, onwards and forwards. Our time on earth is quickly slipping by. And in the light of that fact, the way that we ought to be living as Christians, the attitude that we ought to have is clearly set out in the scriptures. Every Christian should be those who are redeeming the time because the days are evil. The words of this text come from an idea of a merchant or a trader who's in the market and he knows the value of an article that he sees. He knows the good to which he can put it. He knows the profit he can gain from it. And he buys it up before someone else can take it from him, before the opportunity is gone. As believers, we should know the value of time and the good to which we can put it to, the good that we can use to put it to God's service. We ought to seize it. We ought to grasp it. We ought to buy it up without delay. There's a need to redeem the time. The Apostle Paul wrote into the Galatian church and told them in chapter 6, which says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, and we shall have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You see those words there, as we have therefore opportunity. The word opportunity is the same Greek word that is used to translate the word time in Ephesians 5 and 16. The time the Lord gives you, whatever it may be, however long or short, it's an opportunity. That's what the Lord wants us to see, to think, to ponder carefully for a moment tonight. It's an opportunity for us to serve the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to glorify Him. It's an opportunity for us to win others to Christ, to be a soul winner, to be a fisher of men. The exhortation that Paul writes is that we need to avail ourselves of that opportunity. We need to put the right value upon time and upon the opportunity the Lord gives. We need to buy it up. We need to buy it up for God and for His glory before it is lost and gone forever. Robert Murray McShane wrote in his diary that he had spent one evening in a way that afterwards he felt was careless. He spent it too lightly. He recorded in his diary, he says, "What right have I to steal and abuse my master's time? What right do I have to steal and abuse my master's time?" Remember, McShane didn't really have very much time on this earth. He passed away just 2 months before his 30th birthday. For such a young man, what a mark he left for God. A mark that is still felt today, even 180 years later. Friends, how many days, not just evenings, how many days have we spent lightly, carelessly? How much of our master's time, that precious time that God has given, how much of it have we abused? How much have we stolen? The Lord wants us to use it for Him. And how many opportunities, precious, valuable opportunities, to do something for Christ have we wasted? Paul reminds us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, time is short. A very simple little statement, but how forceful it is. Time is short. King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to be born and a time to die. It's interesting that he did not mention a time to live. That just emphasizes how short time is, how short life is. It's hardly even worth mentioning a time to be born and a time to die. A time that we should win souls, a time that we should serve Christ, a time that we should be here on the earth doing the will of our Father, a time to spread the gospel message. Whatever God's will for us might be, we haven't much time to do it, for time is short. I urge you to take this verse upon your heart tonight and to be encouraged to take the opportunity when doing your own devotional time with the Lord to get down on your knees and to ponder these words and also pray carefully and earnestly of the words that we read tonight in Psalm 90 and verse 12 we read earlier, where it says, "The Lord, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart unto wisdom." You think of what Moses wrote there, "Teach me, Lord, to number my days." He didn't say years or months, but days, the length of time that we are given. When Jacob and his sons were reunited with Joseph in Egypt, Joseph, he brings Jacob before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked Jacob his age, and Jacob replied, The days of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of these years of my life been. Few and evil have the days of these years of my life been. We ought to view life in those sort of terms, that life is not very long. I've been speaking tonight to believers. But if there's someone here tonight who has not yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I urge you to consider Christ. Consider where you will spend eternity. When your time here on earth is over, where will you be? Don't waste your time with the pleasures of this world. They may bring you brief moments of happiness, but they will never give you true, lasting joy. That joy can only be found in Christ. And living a life for Him and with Him, because the days are indeed evil. May the Lord bless this brief devotional to our hearts tonight. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your blessing. We thank You for this instruction book for our life. And Father, I pray as we've considered just this short passage of redeeming the time, Lord, we, each one of us as believers, look over our life and we take stock of what we have done. And Lord, I ask for forgiveness for the time that I've wasted. And Lord, we pray that as we go forward, that we would live our life for the Lord. May we not be consumed with what the world has to offer. Lord, we pray that You would bless us as we live for You. Lord, speak to a heart tonight who has not yet bowed the knee, who has not yet come to a knowledge of Christ. Lord, we pray that they would consider their latter end even this evening. If they were to go home tonight and to go to sleep and not wake up tomorrow, Lord, where would they be? Where would they spend eternity? Oh God, we pray that You would do a saving and lasting work even in among our families represented here this evening. Lord, continue on with us now as we sing praises unto Thy great name, giving You all the honor and all the glory, asking these things in Christ's name. Amen. For our closing hymn tonight, it's hymn number 125, Yesterday, Today, Forever. And we're going to have another musical quartet, a slightly different one. This will be a male quartet. They are going to play through this hymn, two verses of this. And it is a longer hymn. There's five verses. So what we will do after they have played through twice, we will then stand and we will sing five verses. But we will leave the refrain until the fifth verse. So we'll sing verse one, right into verse 2. And don't worry, don't be confused. You'll get it as we go. So let us stand to sing as we praise the Lord. We'll remain seated and then we'll stand as after these fellows have played. And if you're not able to stay for our time of hymn sing. Feel free to leave anytime during this hymn.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.